What I do each year at January, the first Sunday of the year, I take my calendar and my planner and I go day by day. And I go week by week, I go month by month, and I pull out significant milestones and events of this past year, some things that we celebrate together, and some things that things we laugh about and some things we cry about. And I'd like to give us a recap of the past year. And then from that, we will transition into the Lord's Supper today. Now, if you haven't gotten a little combo cup for communion today and you need one, you can just lift up your hand now and I will get Peasant Boy Monty to bring that out to you. What's that?
I need one myself.
He needs one himself. Anybody, do you need Billy and okay, Cliff's over here and Amy back there? And with everything the way it's been the past few years, we've kind of changed how we do Lord's Supper. We may never go back to the way we used to do it. So I know it's a little bit awkward, but make sure everybody gets that if you are planning to participate today and partake, and that'll be fine. So as we look back at 2022, I want to start off by saying that the pandemic that we've been a part of now for almost 3 years, it continued in some ways, and the last 2 years I gave an update on that, and I thought it might be appropriate today to do the same. In March of 2020, everything changed in this nation and around our world and also in the local church, and we changed a lot of things in March of 2020. We started to meet again in person in June of 2020, and then through the end of that year, I think it was, reincorporated different elements with our Sunday school classes, Wednesday night activities, youth activities, Awana, things like that. And now, for the most part, you know, things kind of feel normal. You know, people are comfortable. I'm very thankful for that. At the start of 2021, just to keep things in perspective, I shared at that point that there had been 350,000 deaths connected to this particular virus. We started 2022, exactly a year ago, and that number had gotten up to 820,000 deaths connected to that virus. So then I just checked yesterday, and starting 2023, the number, according to the records as best they have those, are 1,088,000 deaths attributed to or connected to that particular virus. So I just wanted to share that since we started back in 2021 with the numbers and to keep us updated with where things stand with that. Very thankful for the most part. You know, we kind of feel normal and things feel normal and are operating as we're accustomed to. So we're very thankful for that. But we are coming out of a historic time to be alive on this earth, honestly. I think about every 100 years or so, there's a pandemic or plague that strikes the country and strikes the globe. So we're part of history with that these past few years. Now, in our church family, as I go back through my calendar, I like to start with a little bit of a memorial today for members of our church or ones closely connected to our church that we lost to death this past year. Some you may have forgotten about because it does seem that a lot happens over a 12-month period of time. So back in February of this year, Sally Hall passed over into eternity. Many of you who have been here for a good number of years remember Sydney and Sally Hall. I don't know how many years it was ago that Sydney died, but Sally, at the start of this year, back in February, is when she died. In June, again, I don't know for sure that Lindsay Perigory, I don't know if he was still a current member of Mountain View back in June because they had moved closer into Fredericksburg, going to a different church. They may have moved their membership, I don't know, but Lindsay and Rose Perigory had been mainstays here at this church for so many years. And it was back in June that Lindsay died. And, of course, we had not seen him in quite some time since they had moved. But those of you who remember Lindsay, you remember a man that was always full of smiles and hugs and happy to see you here early and carrying on with so many of the other older guys here in the church from years gone by. So that was in June. Now, in August, we had what I consider, I think, one of the most difficult losses that we've had here at the church. On a Wednesday night, I was away preaching revival. It was the first night of Awana in August, I think August 17. And you all who were here, you heard the sirens and you saw the activity at the Burgess home. And I got a message on my phone. I think I had just gotten to the church. And it was from, I think it was from Nikki Burgess. And she said that something about Madison has arrested. And like, I wasn't sure exactly what that meant, but I thought I knew what that meant. And so I said, look, I'm here preaching revival. My phone will be in the pulpit. You send me a note. Anyway, and as I was just starting the message, I got a little note there that Daniel says she's going to be with Jesus. And I thought, it can't be. It can't be. And I wouldn't share all that if they were here, but they're not today. So I want to kind of give you that background. So Madison Burgess, at 15 years of age, had a severe, serious issue, cardiac situation. And she died that night, first night of Awana this year in August. And again, in my opinion, it's one of the hardest things that we have been through as a church since I've been here. I keep a record of every funeral I do. And I'm just going to tell you, that's the first funeral I have been a part of for a person in their teens. Okay, this is the youngest I've ever been a part of. So this is a very difficult time. And I want to tell you again, just the way you rallied around Daniel and Nikki during that time with food and prayers and the service and all, I know if they were here and then they shared that it just meant the world to them. So that was in August that Madison Burgess went on to heaven. And while it's hard, it makes me smile. Last a couple or so Sundays ago, asking Daniel, how was Christmas? And he said, you know, we got through things okay. Here's what he told me. He said, here's what I keep thinking, though. He said, Madison is experiencing real Christmas this year. Amen. And so they've been through it. Okay, y'all know. And again, I wouldn't have shared all that if they were here, but with them being absent, just kind of giving that context. So that was Madison Burgess. Now, exactly 2 weeks after Madison's death, I went from the extreme of the youngest funeral I've ever done to not the oldest, but one of the oldest. So 2 weeks after Madison died, then we had the message of Joe Rogers had passed. Now again, those of you who have been in this church for decades, it's hard to even imagine walking into the building and not seeing Joe Rogers carrying on, hugging you, kissing you, whatever he did to you. But Joe Rogers loved his local church. I know y'all ladies are laughing, I know, but he loved all y'all ladies here and loved to hug you. But Joe had a heart of gold, and the man loved his church, loved his Savior. And at 91 years of age, at that point, I believe I'm right on this, that Joe was the oldest member of our church when he died, and that was the very end of August. So on one extreme, okay, we remember and we honor those who have left us, knowing that they're secure. They're secure in the eternal peace and purposes of God. So we know that's good to go. On the other extreme of the life spectrum, we did have a birth to recognize. Actually, a couple here, and I think I got this right. Jane is not here today, but Jane had, I think it was a grandson. Is Aiden's grandson, right? I'll make sure I got. I think that's right. Jane had a grandson born August 27, and then John and Katie Cliff back here, October 1st, the day before my brother's birthday. They timed that just on purpose there, you know. October 1, little Rhett Mosby Cliff was born. So Monty and Patricia are full of joy as grandparents, but I think their hands are also full at times trying to keep them straight. Is that right?
It was last night.
But I'm just telling you, from one extreme of how difficult life can be at death, to the other extreme of the joy that a little baby brings into the home. So those were some of the kind of extremes of life. Let me give you two more. I'm going to say pretty significant medical issues that burdened us this year that we prayed for and prayed about this year. So on January 6th, Dave Brent started quite a journey. And I know you may think that was 3 years ago, the way time goes, but it was actually just less than a year ago. On January 6th, all the deacons got a text on their phones, but it wasn't coming from Dave. It was coming from Shirley. And I've still got it on my phone, and Shirley sent a note to all the deacons and said this: David has a mild case of COVID, but he's doing okay. All right, things were good for a while. 11 days later, and I'm just going to go through this quick, he was in ICU. 2 days after that, on a ventilator. 31 days after that initial test, she sent me a note and says he is on the edge and could go either way. February 10, she sent me a note and said they're placing him in hospice care. Now, during that time, his church was praying. Obviously, we were praying. Everybody was concerned. You know Dave's history with a transplant, knowing if he got any serious virus, he's probably not going to survive. So we're at the end. Doctor said it's the end. Family says it's the end. It's over. February 11, the next day, she sends this note and says, he's talking up a storm and you can understand him. And all of a sudden, he started turning. He gets home. Now, he came home weak. He came home weak. He could barely lift his arms. He came home weak. And at some point, I told him, I'm going to have him share his testimony here in the church. You need to hear what he experienced during this time. It is like really, really powerful. And I want him to share that. On March 21, she sent me a note and said, he's home. And she didn't mean heaven home. She meant home on Forest Lane Road. So Dave went through a difficult time this year, with January to March. And of course, now he's up and about giving you a hard time when you see him, carrying on like he's accustomed to doing. Very thankful for that. Just real quick, a second issue that we really focus on a lot and still to an extent. Back in the middle of May, as I shared, my father had an issue with his back. Something collapsed, compressed his nerve, couldn't walk, couldn't feel his legs. Emergency surgery, May 19. Went through rehab. Came home in a wheelchair June 17, and as you all know, he progressed to a walker and now he's got those walking sticks and moving about. Very, very thankful for that. But I'm just going to tell y'all, that was hard. That was hard for me, and I appreciate you carrying that burden, your prayers there. And yes, we're still asking, if you will, as you think about him, to pray for his left leg. There's no feeling in that leg. Still can't really do much with that leg. And we don't think that the process is completed yet of recovery, but it could be. I mean, honestly, it could be. So it's not where we want it to be, but very thankful he's not in a wheelchair walker. He's actually moving it up. So that was another issue that we dealt with this year. Now, a couple of really exciting things. Two baptisms back in March. Travis and Summer Wine were both baptized this year. And it was so neat seeing a brother and sister and how they had spoken with one another about the gospel with that. The very start of this year, in case you forgot, we had a wonderful snowstorm. It was a wonderful snowstorm. I love the snow. It was great. It was perfect. Almost a foot of snow. It was beautiful. But when you lose power for 4 to 6 days afterwards, it kind of changed the tune a little bit. And so we started that. We were in church on that Sunday. It was 70 degrees. Y'all remember that? 70 degrees. And by that, later that day, the temperature dropped. And they said, you know, we might get some snow. It might be 5 to 8. Oh, it might be 10 inches. I remember Delma specifically saying, you know what? Them crazy fools is calling for up to a foot of snow now. And I said, Delma, you don't know what you're talking about. By the next morning, Delmas knew what he was talking about. And we had snow, and we had a lot of trees down. Quite an issue. June 24, a significant date this past year, Roe v. Wade was overturned. That is a significant issue. Almost at the 50th anniversary, on the federal level, of a constitutional right to abortion, it was overturned by the grace of God, now at the state level. So very thankful for that back in June. Now, a little closer to home here, I've been here 18 and a half years as the under-shepherd at Mountain View. As of the last sermon I preached, you've listened to me 774 times. Now, some of you are saying, amen. And some of you are saying, oh me, when's it going to stop? So 774 times. I hope something's been helpful in that. This past year, we finished our series of Jesus meeting people where they are. We covered 41 individuals that had a very direct personal interaction with the Son of God. Back in September, we started the book of Revelation. We've gone through 9 sermons so far. We'll pick up with that next week and go through this year in Revelation. On Wednesday night, we have continued with our Route 66 study through the Bible. We completed the Old Testament right before Christmas caroling, introduced the New. So starting this Wednesday night, starting in Matthew and going all through the New Testament. Sunday school this past year averaged 34 people in. Our Sunday school classes before the pandemic, we were averaging 51. So we took a hit with Sunday school and encourage you to be a part of our classes. Finances of the church this year, average giving, weekly giving. You see in your bulletin, average need is $3,300 and something. We averaged this past year $4,045 a week, $16,000 above budget. Very good year, faithful giving. We replaced the roof on the church this past year, replaced all the fencing around the property as well with that. Lottie Moon Christmas offering, last year's goal was $3,000. We collected over $4,100. Annie Armstrong goal was $1,400, collected over $2,300. Our state convention goal, Vision Virginia goal, was $525. We collected over $750. So very strong giving year for our missions. Kim Gallhan with Awana. I had forgotten. We had a roller skating outing earlier in the year. Easter egg hunt, Grand Prix race again, and of course the end of year ceremonies and different things like that. With their children, we did VBS different this past year. We did a soccer camp style vacation Bible school, partnered with a sister church in the county, Oakland Baptist, and that was a pretty neat experience last summer with them. We also, kind of again with Kim and Awana and our children, but church-wide fall festival, we had that at the Silston Sports Complex this fall. Southern Baptist Convention meeting was in Anaheim, California this year. Had a chance to be there and represent our church. Revival we had this year for the first time in several years. Steve Freeman was with us again. Our mission projects. We did the baby bottle drive earlier in the year and were able to give $927 to our local Choices Women's Center as they help families with pregnancies and encourage them away from abortion. Collected 52 backpacks for our Christmas backpack ministry, Appalachian area. Operation Christmas Child Shoe Boxes. We had 61 physical boxes and 19 online, I think, for a total of 80. Now, if you have not yet done so, you can go online and track your box. We tracked ours. And ours this year went to a, quote, hard-to-reach area. That means one of those places where people are unengaged, unreached, and very difficult to get into the country with a kind of like a Christian purpose. And that is where our bots went this year. We had a Mission Sunday, big Sunday a couple weeks ago. Our Sarah returned from Central Asia, shared updates and shared some pictures with that as well. And with our mission support, we also this past year expanded our mission support, remembering our budget. We added $10,000 to local, state, national, and international ministries. So that was a big addition this year to go beyond what we give with our mission support. Christmas time, our Christmas program was unique. It was a Christmas play rehearsal. You know what? We didn't title the Christmas program. I just entitled it Christmas Play Rehearsal. And it was really, really good. Appreciate Liz. I know Kim, Lisa kind of stepping up, putting that thing together, and all y'all that were a part of that. Christmas Play program. We went caroling again. And the last thing I say this every year, I'm very thankful that at Mountain View we have a sense of unity, of harmony, and spiritual maturity in our church. Now, if you have not looked around And if you haven't had the chance or the opportunity or the need to go looking elsewhere, you will discover it is very difficult to find a church that does two things. Number one, we actually try to treat you like family, not a visitor. Right? We want you to be here. We're glad you're here. We're unified. We actually have harmony in the church. Like, we don't fight over every stupid thing like so many churches do. So we're very thankful for that. And number two, we promise as best we can to teach and preach in a clear, concise, compelling way. Okay, that is a passion of our church. So with everything I've shared from the past year, financial items, missions items, deaths, births, medical conditions, I'm very thankful that I believe that we've got the spirit of unity in this church. And I appreciate your spiritual maturity, your love, and your support for me and my family. And we love you, we appreciate you, and we look forward to this year of continuing working together, worshiping together, and serving together. So that is my quick report of 2022. Now, what do we do for 2023? Well, here's what I've discovered in church life. I have discovered that there are some foundational truths that are reflected in the Lord's Supper. And if you have been here for a number of years, you have the rest of our time memorized today. I invite you to turn to the letter called 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. And what I want to do today as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, I'm going to give you the same three foundational truths I share every year. These truths serve as a base. And I'm going to say now, and I'll probably say at the end, if we ever get to a point, Mountain Viewians, if we ever get to a point where we do not focus on and maintain the truth of these three words, we need to close down the church. Okay? This is how simple and yet crucial these terms are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing a letter to a church that is going through some very difficult times. The church does not have unity. People are arguing over which leader they are following. They're getting the issue of spiritual giftedness wrong. They are getting the issue of the resurrection wrong. They are getting the issue of the Lord's Supper wrong. So in chapter 11, Paul takes up the pen and he gives a summary of what happened when the Lord's Supper was instituted. In the process of giving that summary, he gives us what I call three foundational truths that you must hold on to be a New Testament Bible-believing church. Let's look in verse 23. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes for the believers to help them correct their observance of the Lord's Supper. He says, I have received of the Lord, talking about Jesus Himself, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Okay, I preached this to you, I taught this to you. Here's what happened. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, in His last supper with His disciples, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and He said, I want you to take this and eat it. This bread is my body, which is broken for you, and this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, He took the cup. When He had supped, and this is what Jesus said according to the Apostle Paul. Jesus said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. And this do ye, okay, that's the plural there, all of y'all, this do all of y'all, as often as all of y'all, okay, as a group, as all of you drink it, and do so in remembrance of me. For as often as you all, okay, all of y'all, as often as you all eat this bread and drink this cup, you are showing or proclaiming or declaring the Lord's death, but you're doing so until He comes again. Now, here's what I point out and pull out every year at the end as we start a new year. There are some foundational truths that are reflected in the Lord's Supper. As Paul describes the very first Lord's Supper, okay, as Jesus instituted it, he pointed out some very important theological truths. Number one, I think Paul says, for us, as we go into 2023, as we plan our calendars, we do our stuff like we do at church, as we do so, we've got to hold on to the truth of the incarnation. Now, the incarnation means Christmas time, that God the Father sent God the Son, God is Spirit. God the Son takes on flesh. He becomes incarnate and He lives among us. He dwells among us. He ends up dying on a cross. He's raised from the grave. And we realize that none of that would have been possible if He had not first become like us. Okay, that is called the incarnation. Now notice what Jesus does. When Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, that same night in which He was betrayed, He takes the common element of bread. Now they would have had that at their Passover meal. They would have been very familiar with this Passover bread. Jesus takes the bread, and Paul says when He had given thanks for that bread, He then broke it. And here's what Jesus said about that bread. He says, I want you to take this bread and eat it with this supper, because this bread is, okay, I believe He means it represents My body. Okay, there's the incarnation. This is the Son of God taking on flesh, taking on a body, and here's why He did so. Jesus says, this is My body which is broken. Okay, when they observe the very first Lord's Supper, or the very last Passover meal that Jesus would have with His followers, He takes the bread representing His body and says, something's going to happen with this body. It's going to be broken. Just as you take this bread and tear it and break it and pass it among yourselves and partake of it, it's reflective of the fact that the body I have is going to be broken. Now, you cannot go any further in the gospel story or the New Testament, any good theology, if you don't start with the fact that God became man. Okay, He became us. And I'm going to share the statement I give you every single year to put it into perspective. C.S. Lewis makes a very famous statement about the incarnation. And he writes, to understand the incarnation, we would have then to compare it to a man who would be willing to become a slug in order to save all the other slugs. That is the only way you can understand the depth and the incredible nature of what Jesus Christ was willing to do because of His love and His mercy for us. Now, try to get in your mind that picture. If you've ever seen a homeless snail, you've seen a slug, right? Little slimy thing. Can you imagine the lengths to which a human being would have to go to leave the state of this experience we have, the way we exist, the way we think, the way we move, the way we relate to each other, the way we eat, the way we drink, the way we enjoy life, to go from that and to become a slimy little homeless snail moving across the sidewalk when you walk in your home on wet concrete. That's a pretty vivid image that C.S. Lewis brings to our mind. This is what God the Father did, right? He leaves the glories of heaven and becomes one of us. And that is called the incarnation. Jesus now takes it and says, now this body, okay, My incarnate body, I take this body. This body is going to be broken. Going to be broken for you. Here's a second foundational truth we come, that we get out of. The Lord's Supper as we go into a new year. After talking about His body and talking about the bread, then He switches gears to the crucial centrality of His death, crucifixion. The Bible says then, in verse 25, just as He took the bread in the same manner, also He took the cup. Now they've got several cups there with the Passover meal. Jesus takes one of those cups. When they were supping, as they were eating, and this is what He said about that cup. He said, this cup, the contents of this cup is the New Testament or the New Covenant. And notice, it is in My blood. Now, when you break the bread, you remember His sufferings for us on the cross. When you take the cup, the blood red colored fruit of the vine, now you're looking at His crucifixion at the cross. Now Jesus says, I took on flesh, incarnation, Verse 25, when you take the cup, it's in my blood. And again, it is implied there, it is done for you, right? For us. Everything about the Lord's Supper is to remind us of the truth of His incarnation, that He became man, took on flesh to be broken for us, to remind us of the truth of the crucifixion, that blood had to be applied for forgiveness of sin. And Jesus says, when you take the crushed fruit of the vine in that reddish color, it is to remind you that blood has been shed for forgiveness of sin. Now, I ask this every year. Let me ask it again now. Do you understand the significance, the crucial necessity of that blood? All through the Bible, the Old Testament, animals are sacrificed because of the need for blood to be applied for atonement. When you get to the New Testament, you find two statements very clear that state the necessity of the blood. Hebrews chapter 9, here we go. The writer of this letter says, without the shedding of blood, there is zero. Okay? There is no forgiveness. Now here's what I'm going to say again, Mountain Viewians. If we ever get to a point, and there are churches who have gotten to this point, beloved, if we ever get to a point where we discredit the eternal, necessary value of the blood to be applied for forgiveness of sin, we need to close the doors of the church. You understand that? Without the shedding of blood, without the animals of the Old Testament, their lifeblood being shed and applied to that mercy seat for atonement in the New Testament, without Jesus' blood being shed and applied for atonement, there is absolutely zero forgiveness of sin. If we lose sight of the crucifixion, if we lose sight of the necessity of the blood, we are no longer a New Testament church. Okay? Two foundational truths in the Lord's Supper. John then pipes up and says, to clarify, it's not just any blood. It is the blood of Jesus Himself that cleanses us from all sin. Now, isn't it interesting as Jesus goes through this Lord's Supper, instituting this, there's a lot of ways He could have asked us to remember His life, right? Remember His miracles or remember His birth? What if it all came down only to the birth, right? That was the most important thing. But that's not what He says. No, I want you to remember my death, right? The crucifixion. Because without the shedding of blood, there is zero forgiveness of sin. Now, my favorite part. He became man. He died for us on the cross. Now, if He died and stayed dead, all we got is another religion with a human leader. Right? That's it. But here's the last thing Paul says when you get down to verse 26. He came with a body to be broken. Cup shows His blood with the crucifixion about to occur. We do so in remembrance of Him. And then Paul says at the end of this little summary for the Lord's Supper, every time you take of this bread and every time you drink of this cup, okay, from here on into the future, right? Every time you do so, here's what you're doing. You are proclaiming His death. Okay? The Lord's Supper is a funeral service. That's what it is. It is a memorial service for a man who has died. But here's the difference. Paul says, you are showing or declaring His death, but notice the last three words. You're doing so, though, until He comes. Right? Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, every time we observe the Lord's Supper, it is a reminder that He is coming again. You ever think about that? Every time we observe, we only do this Lord's Supper and observe this until He comes again and sets up His millennial kingdom. So Paul says you're going to continue doing so until that day He comes back. Now, I say this every year, but it's a good reminder. One of these Sundays that we put these little cups in that little dish, And I have to announce, all right, if you didn't get your little combo cup, come on up here, or Peasant Monty will bring one out to you. Every one of these Sundays, when I say that, that's going to be the last time I say it. Right? One of these Sundays we observe Lord's Supper, it's going to be the last time on this earth that you ever take a little cup of grape juice, regardless of the quality. Sometimes it ain't real good, I admit that. And you think it's fermented, I admit that. It's got a shelf life. 10 years ain't too long. Drink up, buddy. I'm just playing. But every time you take that little thing and that little fake piece of bread, the pandemic has changed everything. I knew it's horrible, but listen, it's a symbol right there. But listen, one of these Sundays you tear a little plant, it's going to be the last time you do it. I mean it. Because Paul says you're going to observe this until He comes again. Right? Okay, so what do we have? Now look at the truths. We go into 2023 and we're going to have some of the same activities we had last year. We're going to probably do Christmas caroling again. We're going to probably have Awana again. We're going to have youth stuff going on. We're going to get together and do our Wednesday night meals. And we're going to do some of that same stuff, support our missionaries and local missions. We're going to do that stuff. But as we do so, it is all founded on these basic truths. God became man. As that man, He died on the cross to shed blood. And that's not the end of the story, because He came back to life and He's coming back again. Okay, that drives what we do as a church. And again, I'll say, if we lose any of these foundational truths, close the doors, y'all. Right? I mean, it's no need if we lose these foundational truths. So here's the last statement as we prepare for the Lord's Supper. Everything we do at the church, everything you do in your life as a believer, you do it primarily because of what He's already done. I mean, that's a simple truth. Everything we do because of what He did. That goes back to the New Testament. So today, if you have your little symbol of the broken body and shed blood of Christ, we're going to observe this Lord's Supper as we start 2023. I remind you that this is not a religious ritual. Some churches slap it onto the service like it means nothing. That's not to be done that way. This is charged with great significance. Jesus even says that that bread represents a broken body. The cup represents shed blood. And what Paul does after he explains the significance of the Lord's Supper, then he writes these words in verse 27. Therefore, whosoever, because of the importance of this, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, okay, we shall be guilty. We're guilty regarding the body that Jesus had and the blood He spilled. So because of that, let a man examine himself. Then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation or condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You're just making a joke of it. And Paul says, for this cause to the believers in Corinth, many are sick there, weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Some have died because they took the Lord's Supper lightly. So there are cautions. Number one, the Lord's Supper is for believers. This is only to be observed by those who have trusted in Christ, and you know for sure that your salvation is in Him. He's your Savior. Have no doubts about that. Then this is for you. If you are not saved, then I wouldn't partake. It's not for you. It's not worth taking a chance playing with something so serious. But if you're not saved, then you're going to have an opportunity in just a moment as we close where you can pray and say, Lord, it finally makes sense. On the backside of Christmas starting 2023, it finally makes sense. I understand now why you came, that you died for me, and I believe in you. I'm trusting in you as my Savior. I'm committing my life to you. I want to be one of your children. I want to be saved. That's what you need to do if you're not saved today. So this is for believers. But number two, as believers, it's very important that the condition of our heart is right. Now, listen, You don't have to be perfect. Okay? It doesn't say here you have to be worthy. It's just the way you partake has to be worthy, right? So what does that mean? That means you examine yourself and you look into your heart and your life, you think about it and you say, all right, Lord, is there anything between me and you right now? Is my heart clean? Is there unrepentant sin? Is there an attitude I'm holding toward another believer right now that I haven't let go of, haven't gotten straight? There's something there that's not just not right. Then Paul would say here, after you examine yourself, then pray, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of sin. Help me to partake in a worthy manner. And it very well may be the case. You sit here today and you've got some attitudes of the heart, some things going on. You're like, Lord, I cannot partake in a worthy manner today. I'm going to abstain. Well, you know what? You're far better abstaining than you are sinning against the body of the Lord by partaking if you do so in an unworthy manner. Like seriously. So that's why as we partake each time, we just have a quiet time of prayer. Prepare your heart. Examine your life. Lord, I want to partake in a worthy manner. Forgive me of sin. Cleanse me so I can partake in a worthy manner and remember your death and honor you here as we start 2023. So let's bow as we do that. As we bow together today, this is a quiet time to prepare your heart for this Lord's Supper and partaking of this Lord's Supper. And we're asking the Lord above, is there anything in my heart that's not right with you? Is there something between us this morning that is an obstacle to my partaking? And if so, the Bible says if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. That's what this prayer time is for. Examine your heart. Ask God for His forgiveness and mercy. And if you're then in the right frame of mind spiritually, we're going to partake together in just a moment. Know also this altar is open if you need to come today and bow at the altar area. I know sometimes it just means more when you're on your knees. So it's available as well. And in just a little bit, I'll close our prayer time, and then we shall partake together. Heaven, thank you for allowing us through the name of Jesus to come into your presence today. We're not worthy to do so, but because of Jesus Christ, we can approach you boldly in confidence. And so today, you have heard our prayers of confession. You know what's in our hearts. You know what's in our minds. And Lord, there is not a one of us in here who would volunteer. Say, hey, put the thoughts of my mind and heart up on the screen Sunday morning so everybody can benefit from it. There's not a one of us. So today you've heard every single one of our prayers asking for forgiveness, asking for cleansing, so that we can partake today in a worthy manner to be reminded and to declare the death of Jesus until He comes. Bless this time as we do so. And we lift it up to You along with our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.